Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our focus for our sermon is on the words from the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10, some of which will be read as the sermon progresses. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a crew of fishermen prepare their nets for another day's work to the sound of seagulls and the pungent smell of fish. Around them, other boats do the same. A man approaches. He calls into the ship for two of the men. And not just any of them, but the two sons of the ship's captain and owner. "Come with me," he says. With that, those two young fishermen say goodbye to their father, step off of that boat, and quit. That man was Jesus, and those two young fishermen were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the two central figures of today's gospel reading. Mark's gospel actually uses that story to introduce us to James and John, and it paints them in a much different light than we see them in today's gospel reading. From giving up their careers and leaving behind their families, to bluntly asking and demanding that Jesus honor them above anybody else, everybody else. How sad and how strange to hear these words coming out of their mouths. So what changed? From that first moment when they met Jesus until the moment in our gospel reading today, what changed? That's the question that we want to answer today. So listen again to the first words of our reading. "We want you to do for us whatever we ask," James and John said. But Jesus had said years ago, "Follow me." And without a word, they had stepped off of their boat and followed. He'd said, "Go preach my word." And they'd done that despite whatever fears they may have felt. They'd gone out and preached. He'd said, "Go give these people something to eat," and they'd done it despite the impossibility that such a small amount of bread would feed so many people. He'd said, and the more he spoke, the less they listened. The more they began to ask themselves, "When will it be our turn to get what we want?" Were they wrong? They'd given up, at this point, years of their lives to follow Jesus. And they hadn't been paid to do that. They'd left behind their careers. They'd left behind their families. They'd slept on strangers' couches and eaten at strangers' tables for years. Wasn't it time that they got something that they wanted in return? "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. So Jesus was at least willing to hear what they had to say. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Now if James and John were here today sitting and listening to this story again, I think even they would have to admit that this was not their best moment. Because as soon as those words came out of their mouths, it became very clear that what they wanted, their will, was pure selfishness. If they had had their way, God's kingdom would be all about them. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. So not only was it self-serving, what they wanted was ignorant. They wanted glory without knowing or having any idea what the cost would be. And what Jesus is saying here, that cup that he talks about, that was God's wrath over sin. And that baptism was death. But they didn't even have to pause to think about it before saying, yep, we can do it. No big deal. And again, if they were here today and had to hear this story again, I think they would admit that this was not their best moment. And I think they would cringe to have to hear this story replayed, because they knew just as well as we do that what we want isn't always good. So it's troubling to see just how easily they slipped back into that mindset. A mindset that says, my will be done. And it's troubling to see how seemingly inevitably our own attitudes can become the same thing. Even in this story, in this reading, James and John were not alone in that thinking. Listen to how it goes on. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. They became indignant, meaning that they felt that they had been wronged in some way. And as Jesus goes on and he talks to them, it becomes very clear that the reason they were angry, the reason they felt that way, was not because James and John had so much done something wrong, as much as they felt like they, if anyone, deserved the glory and the honor. Come on, how could these men, who had given up everything they had to follow Jesus, who had spent years walking with him, how could they get it so wrong? How could these men who had been the pillars of God's church and Christ's kingdom end up with the same mindset as anybody else? And if they couldn't escape, how can we possibly hope to get it right? In our own worst moments, despite everything we know about Jesus, our own attitudes can easily become that same attitude that the whole rest of the world has, the rest of the world which knows no better way, which says, my will be done. I get what I want. I do what I want, no matter how it affects anyone else. And what I want is what's best for me. I want the glory, the honor, the recognition, no matter who I have to push down to get it. And in our worst moments, we twist even the most selfless acts until they're all about us. Do you notice that happening in your own life? At home, or at school, at work, even at church, in your relationships with other Christians? How seemingly inevitably and inescapably our attitude becomes all about what we want, and we do everything to get what we want without considering the outcome or the cost, all the while knowing that this is not what God intended for us. And what happens in God's church, think of the damage that that can do, of the broken relationships, of the people pushed away from their Savior because of the selfishness that they see in Christians, which they want no part of. There's one escape. There's one way out, and that is to listen to Jesus. To listen again. And notice something about his response to James and John. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Jesus, the Son of God, who has always wanted the right things, said this: to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. He was our polar opposite. He always wanted the right things. He always, his will was always right, and yet when we could not, he submitted to God's will. What was that will? Here our shame and our embarrassment reaches its height because we push and we push to get our will over God's will because we don't trust him. We don't trust him to honor us as we think that we deserve, when in the end what we deserve is anything but honor. And what did God want for us all along? To honor us. Despite humanity's trying to impose its will on God, God got his way in the end. Listen again to the words of our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, where God lays out his intentions for Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus had ever walked on the earth. He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus says, I am that righteous servant, when he says this, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' own worst moment would come just 1 week after this encounter with James and John. And it wasn't a moment of pure selfishness, but the very opposite. It was that moment when he drank the cup of God's wrath over sin. That moment when he felt every ounce of glory and honor in him crushed. When he felt the agony of being nothing, the shame of being no one, so that you and I would never have to feel that. His worst moment, but our best. Jesus served his Father's will perfectly, and really by doing that, he served our good. He paid our ransom. And the ransom, a ransom in Jesus' time was the price that was paid for the release of a slave. And so that image is telling us something about what Jesus has done for us. It's telling us that Jesus has set us free. He set us free from slavery to sin, from slavery to self, from slavery to that incessant need to say, my will be done, so that we can say instead, your will be done, Lord. Your will, which was to pour out your wrath on your Son instead of me. Your will, which is to forgive my sins. Your will, which is to let me suffer the wrath and scorn of human beings for a little while as I follow you. Your will, which is to honor me one day when I stand before you. To recognize me for all of the good things that I did out of love for you in ways that I have not deserved and cannot fathom. Your will, which is for me to live a different kind of life, a life of service, a life of doing your will instead of my own. And to be sure, there will be those worst moments, but even in those moments, know this, that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. And as you say, your will be done, Lord, God will grant you many brighter and happier moments where his love for you shines through the things that you do for other people, through the service that you show to other people. So for instance, James and John, despite this and many other acts of or moments of weakness, James and John went on to dedicate their lives to doing God's will, to being witnesses to what Jesus had done for them and for other people. And so let's not remember them just for their worst moments, but for all those moments which showed what God wanted for them. How God wanted to honor them and serve them, and how he had done that. And how God empowered them to live a different kind of life, to live a life of love and service to other people. May God's will be done in our lives too. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.